Good morning. Thanks so much for tuning into your community radio station, KRBD Ketchikan. I'm Maria Dudzak. And this Thursday, actually, the Arts Council is taking the week off. I guess they're recovering from the Blueberry Arts Festival. So we are not having any arts report this morning. I do believe, though, that the gallery is open, even though their offices are closed. I think they have gallery watchers there on Monday through Friday right now from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. So if you haven't seen the Blueberry Art Show, you can head over there for that. So just a little bit of information, and they'll be back next week to fill us in on other things happening in the community. But this morning, I thought we would check in with Historic Ketchikan. And joining us this morning, we have Matt Armstrong, who is the program director. Do I have that correct? Program coordinator. And also Deborah Hayden, who is the organization secretary, to find out more about what Historic Ketchikan is and does. Good morning.
Good morning.
So maybe do explain what is Historic Ketchikan for those not familiar with it.
Well, we're a nonprofit organization that is sort of dedicated to historic preservation and promoting tourism and economic development through historic preservation, including things like heritage tourism and other aspects of that, and trying to save some of the historic buildings around town and repurpose them for use today.
How popular is historic tourism?
I mean, it really just depends on the area. I grew up in Pennsylvania and have lived in Virginia and West Virginia, and down there are some areas that are very popular, mainly because of Civil War battlefields, Revolutionary era attractions, things like that. Alaska, we have a lot of history, but it's just a different sort of history than the lower 48 might have.
Studies have shown that one major motivator for people to visit is the authenticity of the area. And so that's the big word in tourism these days, is authenticity. So Ketchikan's major tourist product is its authenticity as a historic frontier town.
And how, not necessarily exact numbers, but how many historic buildings are there still around in Ketchikan?
We have about 200 historic properties here in Ketchikan.
And not all of them are, I'm guessing, restored?
No, have been restored, some, not so much. But, that's one of the things that we try to do is, we try to work with property owners to have them restore their property, or find somebody who's interested in taking on that project, like we're currently doing with the old Bayside Hotel.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's down
on
Stedman Street.
Yes.
Okay. So that's kind of a cooperative effort to get that.
Yeah. And our director, or our executive director, Stephen Reeve, has really been involved with a lot of that. But it's, about to, officially reopen as a hotel, an extension of the inn on Creek Street.
Does Historic Ketchikan help in any ways, I guess, to get funding for these types of projects? Are there grants and things you can apply for to restore a historic property, or what can one do?
There are, and there are also historic preservation tax credits that are available for property owners.
Historic Ketchikan has done a historic survey of the downtown and is submitting an application to the Federal Historic Office to make the downtown a historic district. Once an area is a historic district, if anyone wants to refurbish one of the designated buildings in that area, they can get 20% tax credits for the out of the whole cost of the restoration. So they can sell those tax credits to people who have tax liabilities for a certain amount, say 70% cash on the dollar, and get actual cash that they don't have to pay back for up to 20% of the cost of the project.
If some area is declared historic or something is a historic property, does that put obligations on the owner in any way?
No, and not really. It isn't like having a property on the historic register. That's not the same thing, where they are can only restore up to, you know, in a certain manner. But I think that I can't really speak authoritatively about that. We'd have to look that up, but I don't think there's too many restrictions on it. I mean, you don't want to bring in a lot of Arizona sandstone. But
I just know that there are some people concerned. I've heard people like, well, I don't want my property, you know, them
right.
looking at my property because then something may happen that they...
It's just my understanding there are fewer restrictions in a historic district than there are if you're on the historic register. That's all
yeah.
I know.
And a historic register, what? How does that work? Certain properties are declared...
You've got the wrong person
okay.
for that. You'd have to ask Stephen Reeve.
Okay.
He's more...
But, you know, Creek Street itself is a National Historic District, and it has been one for quite some time, I believe. Also, Stedman Thomas.
Yes, Stedman Thomas.
And so, I mean, you know, there are already, historic districts in Ketchikan, exactly like what we're trying to have the downtown area itself, designated as. And they, the districts require, I believe, a certain, percentage of the property owners in each area to, buy in and support it. So, it's not, a nonprofit coming in and saying, this is what you can and can't do. It's a very cooperative effort.
Okay. And I'm imagining when you spoke about historic properties, that would be something like the White House or something that's a major national, in a sense. Or it could be a local.
The Heckman
local
building, or, we have lots of them in.
Oh, okay.
And they've already done a really good job on that building. But that's just an example of a historic building downtown.
I know you have the historic properties. Some of them are marked, it's the walking tour map, or there's certain things where certain properties are marked. Their history, a sense.
We have what we call colorful character signs on the sides of buildings that give a little bit of their history. They don't create any particular designation for those buildings. They just are very informative about our heritage and our history.
And is that, this organization puts together the walking tour map, is that correct?
Walking yes. tour, and also the, like Deborah said, the colorful characters and places signs, the three-sided kiosks that are, around town, text-heavy, but, informative. And then, again, the walking tour and other, similar projects to that.
What other types of things does Historic Ketchikan do, preserving any kind of documents or things, or what?
We published the publication Our Town, which is a comprehensive compilation of information about Ketchikan's history, interesting stories about significant people here, and extensive information about the economics, the demographics, anything anybody would need to know to move here or to start a business here. It's all in there. And it's a wonderful publication that's very popular among the tourists, among people who do business here, who give it to their suppliers, their customers, people from out of state, people send it to their relatives. It's an amazing publication.
And Matt Armstrong, you're the program coordinator. What exactly does that mean?
Well, it's sort of a new position for Historic Ketchikan. I started in early June, and I'm sort of working on, updating the walking tour to make it a little bit, more user friendly and convenient for the people getting, coming here during the summer. And I'm also, working with the executive director, Stephen Reeve, to update our signage around town. Again, the walking tour, colorful characters, and the kiosks. I'm also working on creating a membership drive and membership program because members are important for any nonprofit, as we both know.
As everyone knows. Maybe it's how is membership with that organization?
We have a board of directors and a few other members, and we're looking for ways to boost it, and we should be, starting that program very soon.
It's interesting because I guess it's one of those entities that maybe aren't thought about the same way you're not as visible.
And also in Ketchikan, there's, Historic Ketchikan, the Tongass Historical Museum, the Tongass Historical Society. So there are three, you know, three organizations, one, you know, two nonprofits and one city department that all have history or, you know, in their name. So it can be a bit, you know, confusing, but we each sort of do a different thing. And I think we're all, you know, we all have important parts to play in the community.
And I have heard that of people getting historic Ketchikan and the Ketchikan Historical Society confused.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Well, we're looking at the membership program as a way to draw in people to participate in projects such as our waterfront promenade that we've been working on for, I don't know, more than 20 years, and to participate in how that waterfront is going to look, and just all of our economic development projects that we have that to give us some input on what they want to see and to help develop policy and really shape the look of the town is what we want to draw people in and help formulate policy for that.
You're talking about the waterfront promenade. How is that whole thing a historic Ketchikan project?
It's a partnership between the historic Ketchikan, the city, to some extent the borough. But it's been evolving, and it has some pieces that need to be added to it, that filled in, and we're working on those. But we envision it'll go from berth 4 to the end of the breakwater around Thomas Basin, and then our dream is to have it go clear down to Saxman and join up with that walking path
and
down there.
How far along, I guess, is it at this point?
Well, it goes to the Stedman Street Bridge, pretty much, but there's a couple of gaps in there that need to be filled in around where the sheet pile is, and then there is a way to walk. Once you're across the bridge, there's a walk path that goes out toward the breakwater, but we want to make it consistent and recognizable as the walking path, as the promenade, and, you know, so that when the people get off the ships, they know where they're going, they know that they're on a particular pathway that is consistent and has decoration on it that they can recognize as cohesive.
And I imagine in some of that there is, say, the wooden boardwalk, but you're talking about adding amenities or something, adding signage or
certain kinds of lighting, make it consistent, certain kinds of artwork or, you know, things embedded in the walkway, whatever, railings that are uniform, not uniform necessarily, but consistent so that you can tell where you are. And how that waterfront looks is vital importance to this town, and we want people to start participating in that process.
Are there other projects in the works?
We've been trying to work out a long-term lease agreement for the building that our office is in right now. It's the Yates building. It was the site of the first hospital in Ketchikan, and the building itself is owned by the Episcopal Diocese of Alaska. And, you know, once, you know, hopefully we can get that lease worked out and start be able to put some more work and more money into the building and, you know, eventually turn the first floor into, you know, a small museum, showing the history of that building, because for a long time it was the only hospital between Juneau and Seattle. So it saw, logging incidents, fishing mishaps, you know, anything you can think of. And, you know, on the second floor, we'd like to have office space, and it's, you know, on Mission Street right downtown. So it would be a very visible face for our organization and a great way to, you know, show off display some of Ketchikan's early, you know, medical history.
It's interesting because that's not a very big building. That must have been a pretty small hospital.
And I believe it was also the morgue as well.
Oh, dear. Okay.
Yeah.
Kind of.
I haven't.
It's bigger than you might imagine.
Oh, really? It just doesn't look that big. Okay.
I haven't had any run-ins with ghosts, but, you know, I've only been there a
few months. Are there rumors of that?
Well, it was a hospital and a morgue, so who knows?
Okay, and for those, it's between the Episcopal Church and the movie theater.
Yes.
It's the former Siemens Center. Most people know it as that. It spent some years as the home of the Alaska magazine, Alaska Sportsman's magazine, and then also as the home of the Chamber of Commerce. So
it's lots of many.
It's got quite a history.
Okay. All right. Those are my main questions. Is there anything else you wanted to bring up?
Well, just, you know, again, we'll be starting a membership drive very soon, and we're going to be reaching out to, again, the owners of the approximately 200 historic properties, as well as other individuals in the community and businesses. And if you have any questions, you can, you know, get in touch with us. Deborah, do you have the number offhand? All right, well, our website is historicketchikan.org, so you can find our contact information on there. And again, if you have any questions, just get in touch with us. And if you have any questions about, you know, a historic preservation project that you might want to do, we can, you know, definitely assist you in that, or at least point you in the right direction. And, you know, we're just really excited to be able to preserve and interpret Ketchikan's unique and interesting history.
You can visit our Facebook page.
Yes, Historic Ketchikan is on Facebook, so we hope to hear from you.
Okay, great. Thank you so much for being here. Matt Armstrong and Deborah Hayden from Historic Ketchikan.